ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके
सो Yesterday, we discussed up to the third chapter of the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam from Padma Puran. Yesterday, we discussed how the Kumaras instructed Narad Muni to recite Srimad Bhagavatam in order to revive Bhakti Devi and our two sons, Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. Narad Muni was very much concerned that Bhakti Devi's two sons, Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation, became old and decrepit. So Bhakti Devi was pleading, appealing to Narad Muni to do something to revive her children, bring back their youth. When she went back to Vrindavan, she regained her youth and her beauty, but her two children were still old. Due to the influence of the age of Kali, Bhakti Devi's two sons, Jnana and Vairagya, became old. And Narad Muni, in order to help Bhakti Devi, started to travel around the world to find some sort of remedy or some means to revive or bring back their youth. And then finally, when Narad Muni could not find any remedy anywhere, he went to Bhadrikashram, and there he met Sanat Kumar and other three Kumaras, Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan and Sanat Kumar. And they instructed Narad Muni that the only way to revive or bring back the youth of Bhakti Devi's two children and to bring back Bhakti into this world, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence or which is the ripened fruit of the entire Vedas, should be recited. Where? In Haridwar, in a ghat called Ananda on the bank of Ganges. And when Srimad Bhagavatam was recited there, then Bhakti Devi appeared with her two sons, and she was looking very beautiful, not only with her beauty and youthfulness, but she was decorated with devotion. Devotion was shining in her limbs as the Bhagavatam was shining in her limbs as ornaments, and Jnana and Vairagya became young again and full of vitality. So here now in the fourth chapter, it has been described that how Krishna actually appeared there. There's a very beautiful description. Suta Goswami continued, "O Shaunaka, when the Supreme Lord, who is very dear to his devotees, saw transcendental bhakti manifest within their hearts, he left his abode and appeared in the assembly at Ananda, he wore a garland made of forest flowers, and his bodily hue was just like that of a monsoon cloud. He was dressed in dazzling yellow garments and wore a belt studded with gems. A crown decorated his head, and his earrings moved to and fro. He stood in a beautiful threefold bending form that stole the hearts of everyone. The Kaustava Jain glittered on his chest, and his bodily limbs were anointed with sandalwood pulp. His exquisite beauty defeated millions of cupids. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobha. Krishna's form is so beautiful that it is more beautiful than the beauty of millions of cupids. And you must remember, just one cupid has enchanted the entire world, the entire universe. But Krishna's beauty defeats the beauty of millions of cupids. The transcendental devotee, the transcendental personality of Godhead, who held a flute, then entered the hearts of his devotees. His intimate associates, such as Uddhava, had come there incognito to hear the Bhagavad Katha. As the Lord appeared, in all directions could be heard, all glory, all glory. There was a wonderful flow of bhakti rasa, the sound of conches and showers of flowers and colored water. The entire assembly completely forgot themselves and their possessions and were fully absorbed in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Seeing their deep absorption, Sri Narada said, "O sages, today I have seen the wonderful glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even foolish rogues and animals become purified by hearing it, I have no doubt. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, Bhagavad Katha is the most powerful process for purifying the heart, purifying the hearts. O most merciful saintly persons, only to show kindness upon the suffering living entities in the material world have you revealed this wonderful process. Now please narrate histories regarding those who have become purified by performing Saptaha Yajna." That is one aspect of the Vedas. In one hand, the Vedas will establish the conclusion, but then the Vedas will give the proof also, so that no one can have any doubt. That is how the Vedic truth is established. That means they will not only establish, and then they'll give evidence that how some people have benefited. So now the evidence here has been given very nicely. I'll come to that, but let me just also read this part, because this is also another wonderful glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam from the Kumaras. The Kumaras said, "Those crooked people who always transgress the rules of the scriptures and engage in various types of sinful acts, burning in the fire of anger and are always given to lust, will be purified by the Saptaha Yajna." By this Bhagavad recitation every day for throughout the whole week will purify the most sinful people. Those who are outside the Varnashram system, devoid of truth and troubled by material desires, who always criticize their parents, who are envious, hypocritical, and bent on giving misery to others, will be purified by this Bhagavad Katha. Those who steal gold, drink liquor, kill brahmanas, and have sex with the wives of the spiritual master, who are very cruel, merciless, treacherous, immoral, demonic,
always prone to cheating and live off the wealth of brahmanas will be purified by this Bhagavad Gatha. Those who are very obstinate and thus always engage in sinful activities, Jai Shri Shri Radha Radha Nath Srimad Mahaprabhu Ki Gaur Premanande. Those who are very obstinate and thus always engage in sinful activities with their body, mind and speech, who always live on the wealth of others and whose hearts are very impure, will get purified by this week-long Bhagavad Gatha. O Narad, in this context, I will recite a history which simply by hearing one will become free from sin. So then the four Kumaras started to recite the story of a Brahmana called Atmadeva. So there was a very pious, learned and wealthy Brahmana. He was residing in a very beautiful settlement on the bank of Tungabhadra River. Tungabhadra River is a sacred river in India, and on the bank of that river there was a very beautiful city, and this Brahmana used to live there. And the Brahmana was learned, he was very generous, he was endowed with all the Brahminical qualities, and he also was very wealthy. But unfortunately he did not have any son. And he also had his wife was beautiful, coming from a noble family. Her name was Dhunduli, but she was very quarrelsome and mischievous. So, although he was wealthy, but still in order to maintain his humble disposition as a Brahmana, he used to beg from people's doors. And he was, although very, very qualified and very nice person, but his wife was terrible. Anyway, but his main discontentment was that he didn't have a son. So one day, feeling very disheartened, he left home. This Brahmana left home and went to the forest. He actually decided that he was so heartbroken that he didn't have a son. He felt that his whole world was empty. His whole existence became meaningless. So he went to the forest and he thought that he would give up his body. So when he went deep inside the forest and he was crying. So at that time a sannyasi appeared there. So the sannyasi asked him, what happened? So the Brahmana said that my life is so miserable that I do not have a son, because I do not have a son. So you are such a great person, you are a sannyasi, why don't you please bless me that I get a son? So the sannyasi advised him. He said, look, accept everything as Krishna's mercy. That you do not have a son, do not lament for that. Why don't you consider all the other things that you have? You have knowledge, you have wealth, you are famous among your neighborhood, among the people around you. So why don't you consider the how much you got? Why are you always thinking what you did not get? Why don't you consider what you already got? Why don't you consider how much Krishna has given you? But you are simply unnecessarily becoming unhappy thinking how much Krishna did not give you.
So,
and he said, look, just by getting your son, you won't, it's not necessary, not necessarily you'll become happy. There was so many people, why don't you consider the great king Sagar? By getting a son, he actually suffered. By getting his son, he suffered. And he also told him the story of Chitraketu. He said, don't you remember the story of Chitraketu? How Chitraketu became miserable. He wanted a son and he thought that if he got a son, then his life will become completely successful. But what happened to Chitraketu? He became so miserable due to his son. So why don't you just accept that as Krishna's mercy that you don't have a son and just accept your destiny. There is no need to make an excessive endeavor to undo your fate, undo your destiny. And in this way also the Brahmana the sannyasi advised the Brahmana, but the Brahmana wouldn't listen. So finally, sannyasi said, okay, take this fruit. Give this fruit to your wife and she will give birth to a son. So Atmadev became very happy. So he offered obeisances to the sannyasi. Thank you very much. And he ran for his home. And the sannyasi, he just smiled. So Atmadev then so Atmadev then went to his wife and gave that fruit to her and said he told the whole story how he met a sannyasi who gave him the fruit and wanted his wife to eat. So his wife said, yes, I will eat it. But her nature, she was such a crooked person, and she did not eat it. She began to cry, and she spoke to her associates, saying, my dear friends, I am in great anxiety. My husband has brought a fruit which has the potency to give me a son. If I eat it, I'll become pregnant. My womb will grow. And not being able to eat properly, I will become weak and unable to perform my household duties. If by ill fortune dacoits attack, I will not be able to run in my pregnant condition. And if during the time of delivery, the child gets stuck in the birth canal, then I'll lose my life. Or, if he remains in my womb for an extended period, like Shukdev, how much I'll have to suffer. I am very tender by nature. How will I be able to tolerate all this? And during the pregnancy, I'll be weak. Then my sister-in-law is sure to come and pilfer all my wealth. Moreover, I'll have to follow so many rules and regulations which will create difficulty. Childbearing is very painful and upbringing more painful still. I think only barren women and widows live happily. So, thinking in this way, she did not eat the fruit. Yet, when her husband asked her, she deceitfully said, yes, I have eaten it. One day, her sister visited and Dhunduli confided the whole story to her, revealing her distress. Dhunduli said,
oh dear sister, owing to anxiety, day by day I am becoming weaker. Please tell me what I should do. Her sister replied, I am now pregnant, so when I deliver this child, I will secretly give him to you. Meanwhile, you pose yourself as pregnant and offer some wealth to my husband. Thus, he will not mind giving his child to you. Somehow or other, we will arrange for another, we'll arrange for everyone to think that I suffered a miscarriage after 6 months. Later, I will arrange to nourish the baby at your house. Now, to taste this fruit, let us give it to this cow. Dhunduli fed the fruit to a cow, and in due course, her sister gave birth to a son. The child's father quietly delivered it to Dhunduli, who informed Atmadeva that she had delivered a son. So Atmadeva became very, very happy. But then his wife told, see, I am, there is no milk in my breast, and I think it is not possible to feed cow's milk to the child yet. What shall I do? But my sister's child, my sister had a miscarriage, so her breast is full of milk. So maybe we can ask her to come and feed the baby, because my breasts are dry. So Atmadev thought that that was a good suggestion, so he called his wife's sister, and this way she actually offered the breast milk to the newborn child. And Dhunduli named the boy Dhundhukari. And after 3 months, the cow that was fed with that fruit gave birth to a human child. And this human child, this cow's child, was actually very nice, and very nice to in features, in very nice features. And because his ears were like cows, it is said that when man has ears like a cow, it is very, very auspicious. So this boy had ears like cows, therefore he was named as Gokarna. Go means cow, and Karna means ears. So whose ears were like cows. So these two children were of the same, almost the same age, but their nature was completely opposite. To give you an example, how this other boy was, Dhundhukari. In time, both boys grew up. Gokarna was intelligent and scholarly, while Dhundhukari was a rogue. He would not perform any brahminical duties or follow the rules of cleanliness. He used no discrimination when eating and was irate. He would accumulate useless articles and would even eat food touched by a dead body. He was expert in stealing and envious of others. Sometimes he would quietly go and set fire to another's house. Or he would abduct a baby and throw it in a well. He took pleasure in violent activities and always carried weapons. He happily troubled blind and handicapped people and kept special friendship with chandalas. He also kept a pack of dogs and would often go hunting. He was attached to prostitutes, and thus he wasted all his father's wealth. One day he severely beat his parents, took all the pots and utensils in the house and sold them. In this way, all of Atmadeva's property was lost. He began lamenting, alas, alas, I was better off when my wife was barren.
Oh, to have a rascal son is worse than having no son at all. Where shall I go? What shall I do? Who will help me in this unfavorable situation? Oh, misery, I am being tormented by my own son, and I am prepared to give up my life. While he lamented in this way, Gokarna arrived and began instructing him. O father, this world is full of delusion and misery and is useless. You should deliberate upon who is the real owner of sons as wealth. Those who are attached to material things burn day and night like a ghee lamp. Neither Lord Indra nor the emperor of the whole universe can find happiness. Only those who are renounced and live in a solitary place have peace. Therefore give up this ignorance, thinking that this is your wife, this is your son, and so on. Owing to such delusion, one goes to hell. Hearing the words of Gokarna, Atmadeva decided to go to the forest. He asked, my dear son, please explain what I should do in the forest. I am very foolish and very much attached to karmakanda activities. Now I have lost everything and am bound in this well of household life. You are very merciful. Please deliver me. Gokarna said, O father, this body is nothing but a combination of bones, fat, blood and flesh. Therefore, do not consider that you are this body and that this wife and children are yours. Day and night meditate on the ephemeral nature of the material world and thus do not become attached to anything. Become renounced and perform devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. Devotion is the greatest religion, therefore take shelter of it. It'll be take shelter of her. And give up all other material religious principles. Render service to saintly people and give up all thoughts of sense gratification and greed for wealth. Do not meditate on the defects of others. Fully engage in the service of the Lord and always drink the nectar of His holy pastimes. Influenced by the preaching of his son, Atmadev left home and though he was 60 years old, went to the forest with great determination. Day and night he remained engaged in the service of the Lord. He regularly recited the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam until finally he attained the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So now we are going to the fifth chapter. So, yeah, I think we can cover the fifth chapter also. Then we'll have only one chapter left, which we can cover tomorrow. And then on Sunday, if we have time, then we can have a test. So Sutta Goswami said, O Shaunaka, one day, after Atmadeva went to the forest, Dhundukari beat his mother severely, demanded her wealth, and threatened to burn her. Being overly troubled and afraid of his son, one night Dhunduli stole out of the house, threw herself into a well, and drowned herself. The saintly Gokarna was not troubled by happiness or distress, and did not consider anyone his friend or enemy, left to go on pilgrimage. Dhundukari remained living in their house with five prostitutes and constantly worried how to accumulate wealth for sense gratification. Owing to this, he lost all his intelligence and thus engaged in cruel and heinous activities. So here we can see also that it's quite allegorical, the story. Now who is this Dhundukari? Dhundukari is the conditioned soul, always engaged in sinful activities. And then he settles down with five prostitutes. Who are these five prostitutes? The five senses. And what, let us see what these prostitutes do to Dhundukari. What do the senses do to us? If we allow to live with them, or if we allow us to dominate, if we allow them to dominate us, then what happens? One day, the prostitutes requested that he give them, various ornaments. Dhundukari, completely blinded by the lust and forgetful of death, the prostitutes began to consider. They started to talk among themselves. Dhundukari is always plundering others, and in time will surely get caught by the king, who will confiscate his wealth and hang him. We might as well kill him ourselves, take his wealth and move to a distant place. Thinking in this way, one night, while Dhundukari was sleeping, they tied him with ropes, put a noose around his neck and tried to strangle him. He would not die easily, and this worried the prostitutes. They then brought burning wood, shoved it into his mouth. The wood burned him to death, and they buried his dead body. Indeed, women are very courageous, and it is difficult to understand their mind. No one could understand what happened to Dhundukari. When asked, the prostitute said that he had gone far away to collect some wealth and would return after 1 year. An intelligent person should never believe an unchaste woman. Any foolish man who puts his faith in such women will suffer like Dhundukari. The voice of an unchaste woman appears as sweet as nectar to a lusty man. Actually, her heart is as sharp as a razor. Unchaste women have no love for anyone. They only value wealth. Prostitutes, who had experienced many lovers, thus took all Dhundukari's wealth and disappeared. Owing to his misdeed, Dhundukari attained a ghost body. Due to his misdeed and also due to his this kind of accidental death, one gets a dead body. Due to sinful activities, one meet with such a death. All of a sudden death. This sudden death is called abnormal death. And this abnormal death, what actually happened? Normally, when one dies, then he gradually becomes, by nature's arrangement, he gradually becomes detached from his body. By nature's arrangement, the soul gradually starts to become detached from the body. And then finally, when the time comes to die, then the soul just leaves the body without any hassle. But when one dies, all of a sudden, there's an abrupt death, then the spirit soul cannot actually register that he died, that he lost the body. So he keeps on wandering, looking for that body. It's something like all of a sudden one wakes up and finds that he's out of his body and he doesn't know where the body is, because the body is either buried or burned. And even if the body was there, he doesn't know how to go back. Normally what happens when we fall asleep, we go out of the body.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Radha Nath Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki.
Sometimes we hear that someone died due to the overdose of drugs. Many people actually died due to overdose of drugs. What actually happens is, due to overdose, actually when one takes drugs, one gets a trip. He goes out of his body. But generally, one comes back after the effect wears out. But when there's an overdose, then the spirit soul is sent out, the spirit soul goes so far away that he can't actually come back to his body. He loses his track. And he gets lost, and the body becomes dead. And then the body is burnt or buried, and the spirit soul can't figure out where his body is. So what he starts doing, he starts to roam around everywhere looking for a body. And when he finds a weak body, he just gets hold of that body. And that's what you call that one has been possessed or haunted by a ghost. The ghosts are everywhere. Like someone said that South Africa is the capital of the capital of Bhutaloka. It's a very space, very strange place actually. And I heard that South African ghosts are quite powerful also. And when they find a weak person, they just possess him. Because they're looking for a body. They don't have a body, natural body. So they just take over somebody else's body. Especially those who are weak-minded, or especially those who are into, those who are habituated to taking intoxication. Those who take intoxication, they don't actually have control over their bodies, and the ghosts actually take over. Anyway, so Dhundukari became a ghost. And he was, even after death, still he was causing trouble to others. Ghost's main business is to cause trouble to others. Prabhupada mentioned that also. Once Prabhupada told us a ghost story. Prabhupada said when he was in Allahabad, he got to know that there was a big bungalow. It was a house of an European, Englishman. Big house. And it was going very cheap. The rent was very cheap. So Prabhupada became interested to rent that house. But people told him that that house is a haunted house. Therefore no one wants to stay there. And that's why it is so cheap, rent is so cheap. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada didn't care whether it was haunted or not. And so one night, at night there used to be all kinds of troubles. And so one day Prabhupada saw, and Prabhupada said it was an Englishman's ghost. It was an English ghost. So Prabhupada took his cane and chased him. And since then the ghost never came back. So he chased the ghost out of the house. So and remaining within the whirlwind, Dhundukari wandered here and there, suffering from hunger and thirst, and lamenting his misfortune. He could find no shelter anywhere. After some time, the news of Dhundukari's death reached Gokarna, So he went to Gaya to perform Shraddha. Considering his brother destitute. Later, while traveling to the holy places, Gokarna reached his hometown and, hiding from everyone, went to his former house to pass the night. Dundukari's ghost observed Gokarna return, so he assumed very fierce forms and appeared before him. Sometimes he took the form of a dreadful sheep, then an elephant or a buffalo. So in this way he took different forms to frighten him. Finally, he appeared as a human being. Seeing this, Gokarna realized that a ghost must be making this display. With courage and patience he spoke, "Who are you? Why are you exhibiting all these fearsome forms? How did you fall into this condition? Tell me clearly, are you a ghost, goblin, or a demon?" So, a saintly person is never afraid of a ghost. Because, first of all, the saintly person is not attached to his material body, both gross and subtle. A saintly person is not afraid, therefore a saintly person is not afraid. On top of that, when a saintly person sees a ghost, he takes compassion upon the ghost also. He took pity upon him and says, "Oh, what a miserable creature. Why are you suffering so much? Why don't you chant Hare Krishna?" When Gokarna questioned him, the ghost started crying loudly. He did not have the power to speak. So he gestured with his hands. Gokarna sprinkled some water on the ghost. This relieved him of enough sinful reactions that he was able to speak. And he said, "I am your brother, Dundukari. Because of my misdeeds, I have fallen from my respectable birth as a Brahmana. Owing to complete ignorance, I killed many people. It is not possible to count my sins. I was addicted to 5 prostitutes who finally killed me, and as a result I am suffering the reactions of my ill activities and have thus gotten this ghost body. Somehow by the will of the Lord I am now surviving only by air. My dear brother, you are an ocean of mercy. Please somehow deliver me from this ghostly form." Gokarna replied, "Dear brother, I am very surprised. I duly performed oblation for you in Gaya, and it is a wonder that you still haven't been relieved from this ghostly form. If you cannot be delivered by performing sacrifice in Gaya, then I do not know what to do. Tell me, what is the solution?" The ghost said, "I cannot be relieved of this condition, even by the performance of 100 shraddhas in Gaya. You must think of some more powerful practice." Gokarna, astonished to hear this, said, "If you cannot be delivered by hundreds of shraddhas in Gaya, then your liberation is practically impossible. Anyway, do not fear. Stay here and I'll think of some procedure, some means to deliver you." The ghost left and Gokarna passed the night in deep thought, but did not find a solution. The next morning, many people, including scholars, wise men, knowers of the Vedas and yogis, came to see him, and he explained the incident which had occurred the previous night. They all consulted their particular scriptures, but could not suggest a suitable means to deliver Dundukari. They finally decided to follow whatever Surya Narayan, the sun god, and prayed, O Lord, you are the witness of the whole universe. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be merciful and tell me the process to deliver Dundukari. The sun god replied, only one thing can be done to deliver him. Recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam for 1 week. The assembly heard the statement of sun god and agreed that this simple process should be executed. Thus the news spread that Gokarna would perform the Saptaha Yajna. From the nearby villages, many people came who were lame, blind, aged, and less intelligent, and all had the desire to become free from their sins. Such a crowd assembled that even the demigods were surprised. Gokarna took a seat on the Vyasasana and began reciting the pastimes of Lord Krishna as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. At the time, the ghost also came and searched for a place to sit. Because he had an airy body, he could not sit outside. So he entered a bamboo rod, which had 7 knots, and thus began hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. In a clear, sweet, after Gokarna appointed one Vaishnava Brahmana as the chief of the assembly, in a clear, sweet voice, he started reciting Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto. That evening, during a pause in the katha, a wonderful incident occurred. The people in the assembly noticed that one of the knots in the bamboo cracked and burst. In this way, at the end of each day, a knot would burst, and on the 7th day, when the recitation was complete, all the knots were cracked. Dhundukari was delivered from his ghostly form. Now, it's in another allegorical presentation here. Like, this ghost is the spirit soul, Dhundukari. Now, he is in a bamboo with 7 knots. Now, this bamboo with 7 knots, again, is symbolic to human body. And the human body has 7 chakras. So, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam day after day, each chakra would burst. That would mean that the spirit soul would actually rise to breaking these chakras, and ultimately when the soul comes to the Sahasrara, the brain center, then he attains liberation from material bondage. So these chakras are actually like knots, and they are actually holding, like in Yoga Shastra, it explains that these chakras are the nerve centers in the spinal column. And generally, the nerve currents in the human body run on the left-hand side of the vertebral column and the right-hand side of the vertebral column. But there is a channel from the center through the center of the spinal column, spinal cord, that is called the Sushumna. And the chakras are actually situated in Sushumna. And the yogi tries to penetrate through these chakras, and he rises. And as he rises, like the yogi, we heard that the yogis achieve yoga siddhi, perfection, mystic perfection. So as the chakras, the life energy is called kundalini. As the kundalini rises through the chakras, one actually attains higher and higher spiritual position. Jai Shri Shri Radha Radhanath Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki. The yogis, the Ashtanga yogis usually perform this artificial, by some mechanical process. they try to raise their kundalini, the kundalini energy. But here we can see from this statement that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, a devotee actually attains those perfection. Like his nerves and the chakras, or one can say the nerve centers, opens up. And his kundalini or life energy rises, and ultimately he becomes free from material bondage completely. So it is not that the devotees don't achieve those perfections. The thing is that with the devotee, these perfections take place automatically. And therefore it is said that one who has accepted devotional service, it has to be understood that he already passed all these other spiritual practices, all these other spiritual methods of, all these other methods of spiritual advancement. He has already attained perfection in those procedures. Like those who has become devotees, we have to understand that they have already transcended the platform of Ashtanga Yoga or any other yoga. Now sometimes one may say, well, then the yogis are displaying so much mystic power, why the devotees cannot? Devotees cannot because the devotees don't care for the power. And devotees are satisfied with whatever Krishna gives them. So if Krishna someday gives them mystic power, they will display it. And Krishna will give them in due course of time. They are not eager to get it for themselves as such. The devotee's position is something like a millionaire's son. The millionaire's son is a millionaire, just by birth. But when he's a child, then the father doesn't give him the million in his hand. Similarly, the devotees, they have access to all these mystic power or perfections. But Krishna will give them, their father will give them in due course of time. Just like a millionaire son may sometimes, when he's a little child, he may come to you and ask you for a lollipop. But that doesn't mean that he is poor. Actually he will inherit his father's wealth in due course of time. And that is the position of a devotee. Now right now they may not display their wealth, but in due course of time they will. So the point is that just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one can attain the ultimate perfection, ultimate spiritual perfection. So we can see how a sinful ghost of Dhundukari attained perfection or liberation from this material bondage just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But the interesting point is coming here. Okay, let us just continue to read. He attained a divine body which was blackish like rain clouds. He was clad in yellow garments, a tulasi garland around his neck, a crown adorning his head, and beautiful earrings dangling from his ears. He immediately offered obeisances to Gopan and said, "My dear brother, by your mercy I have been released from the ghostly body." This ceremony of Saptaha is so glorious that it can destroy ghostly forms and elevate one to the abode of Lord Krishna. When a person starts hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, sins tremble in fear anticipating that the Bhagavad Gatha will burn them to ashes. In the same way that fire burns a twig or a tree, so this Bhagavad Saptaha burns all big or small sins performed with the body, mind and speech. Scholars in the assembly of demigods have said that the lives of those Indians who do not hear Srimad Bhagavatam are an utter waste. What is the value of making this temporary body stout and strong if one does not hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Then there is no gain from this so-called beautiful body. This body is supported by bones which are like pillars and tied together with a rope of nerves and veins. It is covered with skin and is filled with flesh, and every part reeks, being nothing more than a pot of stool and urine. In old age, it is the cause of lamentation and misery. Indeed, it is a residence for ailments, and to maintain it is a great burden. It is continuously troubled by desires that can never be satisfied. Every pore is full of defects, and it can be destroyed within a moment. When buried, it is eaten by worms. If thrown out, it is eaten by vultures and transformed into stew. And if burned, it turns into ashes. Indeed, these are the only destinations of this body. Who is that same person who will not utilize this temporary body to gain permanent benefit? Food which is cooked in the morning is putrid by evening. So how can this body be considered eternal? Since it is nourished by elements that decompose it. In this material world, people can very quickly attain the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the only means to get rid of the defects of human birth. Those people who do not hear Bhagavad Katha are just like bubbles in water, or like mosquitoes who take birth only to die uselessly. If this Bhagavad Katha can burst the knots of bamboo, then why can it not burst those in the heart? By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one's doubts are removed, the karma is slackened, and one becomes relieved of the knots in the heart. Bhagavad Katha is like a teertha that cleanses one from all impurities. Scholars say that when the Bhagavatam becomes fixed in the heart, one's liberation is definite. When Dhunduparī was speaking in this way, the sky became effulgent, and the Vaikuntha airplane appeared carrying associates of the Lord. In front of the whole assembly, Dhunduparī boarded the airplane. Gokarna posed a question, "O dear associates of the Lord, in this assembly there were many pure-hearted people, and all of them heard the Bhagavatam. Why is it that this airplane has come exclusively for Dhunduparī? Why are the others not getting the same result?" The servants of the Lord say, "O Gokarna, the difference lies in the quality of hearing. Although it is true that everyone heard the katha, everyone did not meditate on it equally. For this reason, the results of performing bhajan or devotional service are different. This ghost fasted for 7 days and heard Bhagavatam with a completely fixed and attentive mind. That knowledge which is not stable is useless. In the same way, if one does not hear attentively, or if one harbors doubts or lets his mind wander here and there, then he will not get the benefit of chanting this mantra. Land devoid of Vaishnavas, Shraddha offered to unqualified persons, charity given to ill-behaved Brahmanas who do not know the Vedas
are all useless. Faith in words of the spiritual master, humility, control of the mind's defects, and attentive hearing of Bhagavad Gatha all grant the full result. If one hears the Bhagavatam attentively, he certainly attains Vaikuntha. O Gokarna, as far as you are concerned, the Lord Himself will come to take you to Golok. Thereafter the associates of the Lord, performing Hari Kirtan, ascended to the Vaikuntha. In the month of Shravan, Gokarna again performed the Saptaha Jagga of Srimad Bhagavatam, and those people again listened to it. O Narada, please listen what happened at the end of that Saptaha. The Lord appeared in a plain filled with devotees. From all quarters could be heard, all glory, all glory. And people were paying obeisances. The Lord blew his conch shell named Panchajanya and embraced Gokarna. In a moment he granted everyone who listened to the Srimad Bhagavatam a body just like his own. They all acquired a blackish body and wore yellow garments, helmets and earrings. By the mercy of Gokarna, all the living entities in that village, including dogs and even the dog eaters, ascended in that airship. They were carried to the place where only devotees go, the abode of the Lord. In this way, Lord Krishna, being very pleased by his katha, took Gokarna with him to Golok Dham, which is most dear to the cowherd people. In the past, Lord Ramchandra took all the residents of Ayodhya to his abode. In the same way, Lord Krishna took everyone to Golok Dham, which is not attained even by great yogis, the sun god, moon god, or even perfected beings, but is attained only by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. O Narad, what can we say about the wonderful result which one attains by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Even those who have heard a fraction of the history of Gokarna do not take birth again. That destination which cannot be attained by those who live on air, water, or dry leaves, executing extended penance, or the practice of yoga, is easily attained simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The great sage Shandila, who is always absorbed in transcendental bliss, engages in reciting this pious history at Chitrakutali. At Chitrakut. This story is so purifying that anyone who hears it, even once, becomes free from all sin. If it is recited during the Shraddha ceremony, the forefathers are very pleased. Anyone who recites Srimad Bhagavatam daily attains liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Gaur Premanande. So does anybody have any question? Well, they can perform the activities, subtle activities that mind can perform. But ultimately to enjoy properly, one needs the gross body. For example, one has hunger, but he cannot eat. He sees that the food is there, but he doesn't have the means to eat the food. This way he has hunger, he has thirst, but he can't really fulfill those desires. Actually, the desires are in the subtle body,
But the fulfillment of the desires take place through the gross body. But the ghosts do not have the gross body. Is it clear? No? Why?
How does the ghost can speak?
Well, generally they cannot speak, but they can communicate through the mind. You see, what happens is, like here, Gokarna could hear because he's a very elevated person. So he could communicate, coming into his level. But for a common person, one doesn't see a ghost in an ordinary condition. He has to go into that particular level of consciousness to experience a ghost. Like what happens, when does one see ghost? One sees a ghost when one is afraid. A normal man usually would not see ghost, or unless one is able to, you know, transport himself into that level of consciousness. And then only one can communicate. Generally, here also it has been mentioned, the ghost cannot speak. But they have a body, but they cannot really speak. But they can communicate. But that communication takes place in the level of mind. And actually all our senses are there in the mind also. For example, in a dream, we hear, right? We talk. Now how these activities are being performed? They are being performed on the subtle plane, in the mind, and all the senses are there in the mind also. The gross aspect of the senses are externally, but internally they are existing in the mind. Like mind has the faculty to speak. Mind has the faculty to hear. So in that level of consciousness, the communication takes place between a ghost and a non-ghost. Yes? Two souls. No, man is one soul. No, I didn't say that. Subtle body also is a spirit soul. No, spirit soul is separate from subtle body. There are two souls, two bodies, not souls, two bodies. One is a gross body, two types of material bodies. Gross material body and the subtle material body. But both the material bodies are activated by the soul. You see, the subtle body is functioning because the soul is there. Without the soul, subtle body cannot function, just as without the soul, the gross body cannot function. Also conditioned souls. Parents, well, that also has been described, that the city where his father, beautiful city his father was living, is actually the material body. He's another spirit soul, living in another material body, human body. And there he's not satisfied. Although he has everything, still he's not satisfied. He's always thinking, I do not have, I do not have, I do not have. He's not thinking, how much I have, how much I have, how much I have. Right? And then he desires, and ultimately what happens? His desires causes him distress. And what is the solution to those distresses? The solution to these distresses is renunciation from material activity. And that's why he finally goes to the forest. And there he is absorbed in Krishna Katha, remembering Krishna's pastime. And thus he goes back to God. But here Gokarna is the spiritual master. And for that spirit soul, the sannyas is the spiritual master. But for Dhundukari, Gokarna is the spiritual master. When one doesn't listen to the spiritual master, he suffers. Just like in both cases we see, initially they didn't listen to the spiritual master.
The spiritual master told him, told Dhundukar, his father, Atmadeva, that why are you hankering for something that you do not have? Why don't you rejoice for what you already have? So he was explaining, but he wouldn't listen. He said, no, I want a son. Without a son, my life is empty. He says, remember what happened to Chitraketu. And then finally he realized that it's better to have no son than to have a wicked son. It was better when his wife was barren. And with Gokarna, although Gokarna was there with Dhundukari, although Gokarna was there, Dhundukari couldn't bother to listen to him. But he was neutral. Gokarna didn't care. Okay, if you want to commit sinful activities, go ahead. But when he needed help, then he came forward. He said, okay, now you come to me. And he made all the arrangements to deliver. And it's only by his arrangement that he was that Dhundukari was delivered. So in order to become free from all material distress, one must have a spiritual master. One must take shelter of the spiritual master. And what does the spiritual master do? The spiritual master, the bona fide spiritual master, relieves him from all his anxiety and all his distress. Yes. Service. One of the best service actually is to attentively hear the instruction of the spiritual master. That is service. Or rather, that is also service. And spiritual master's mercy is causeless. It is not that the spiritual master is always saying that you must massage my feet, otherwise I won't give you my mercy. No, spiritual master is happy when the disciple listens, and that's what he cares for. What actually pleases the spiritual master the most? The disciple's sincere obedience. I agree. Okay. What is the factor in Srimad Bhagavatam that has such a power to purify a living entity? That power is the essence of the entire Vedas has been presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. And a living entity can actually have access to that essence, rasa. The juice of the tree is spread throughout the tree. It is there in the branches, in the trunk, in the twigs and in the leaves, in the fruits even, in the flowers even. But you can't taste the juice of the tree, can you? Only in the fruit. When the juice comes in the fruit, then only you can taste the juice. Now Srimad Bhagavatam is the fruit of the Vedic Kalpavriksha. So all the juice is there throughout the Vedas, but one cannot experience that juice. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the means to experience that juice, to relish that juice. That's why that is how Srimad Bhagavatam has the power to purify one. And when you have a bite in a fruit, then what happens? The juice fills up your mouth and you say, wow, it's so relishable. So you want to eat it more and more and more. That's how you want to relish the juice. Rasa. So, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Gaur Premanande.